യോഗാധ മാധവ കുഞ്ജ വിഹാരി ജയ രാധ മാധവ കുഞ്ജ വിഹാരി ജന വല്ലഭ ഗിരിവര ധാരി ജയ ഗോപി ജന വല്ലഭ ഗിരിവര ധാരി യശോദനന്ദന ഗജനരഞ്ജന യശോദനന്ദന വ്രജനരഞ്ജന യമുന തീരാവന യമുന തീരാവന്ന ജയ ഗാധവ കുഞ്ജ വിഹാരി കുഞ്ജ വിഹാരി ജന വല്ലഭ ഗിരിവര ധാരി യശോദനന്ദന രജനരഞ്ജന യമുന തീരാവന്ന ചാരി ജയ രാധ മാധവ കുഞ്ജ വിഹാരി കുഞ്ജ വിഹാരി
പരമഹംസ ത്രിഭുജാകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശിശുനാഥ് ഹിസ് ഡിവൈൻ ഗ്രേസ് എസി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ കീ ജയ്. ഇസ്കോൺ ബിബിടി സംസ്ഥാപകാചാര്യ ഹിസ് ഡിവൈൻ ഗ്രേസ് എസി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ കീ ജയ്. ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം കീ ജയ്. അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദ കീ ജയ്. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുഗൗരാംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നാരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം, ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം ततो जाये मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, Text 43. Since yesterday was the first day of Chandan Yatra, and since we didn't read Text 42, I've been asked to read Text 42 translation purport and then go on to Text 43. So first I'll read Text 42. Nandasya Vamsho Raja Shreer Esha Samst Khatum Arhati Amoga Virya Hinripa Vamshesmin Keshavash Shraya. Translation: the sage has decided that the descendants of the family of the saintly king Anga should not be stopped, for in this family the semen was very powerful and the children were prone to become devotees of the Lord. Purport: the purity of hereditary succession is called Amoghavirya. The pious seminal succession in the twice-born families of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas especially, as well as in the families of Vaishnyas also, must be kept very pure by the observation of the purificatory processes beginning with Garbhadhana Samskara, which is observed before conceiving a child. Unless this purificatory process is strictly observed, especially by the Brahmanas, the family descendants become impure, and gradually sinful activities become visible in the family. Maharaj Anga was very pure because of the purification of semen in the family of Maharaj Dhruva. However, his semen became contaminated in association with his wife Sunita, who happened to be the daughter of death personified. Because of this polluted semen, King Vena was produced. This was a catastrophe in the family of Dhruva Maharaj. All the saintly persons and sages considered this point, and they decided to take action in this matter as described in the following verses. So now we come to Text 43. Vinishchityaivam rishayo vipannasya mahipate mamantur urum tarasa tatrasid bahuko nara. Vinishchityaivam rishayo vipannasya mahipate mamantur urum tarasya tatrasid bahuko nara. Vinishchityaivam rishayo vipanyasya mahipate mamantur urum tarasa tatrasid bahuko nara. Vinishchityaivam rishayo vipannasya mahipate mamantur urum tarasa tatrasid bahuko nara.
Nishityayam Vishayo Vipanyasyam Mahipate Amantumaru Tarasa Matrasi Pahukomara Nishityayam Vishayo Vipanyasyam Mahipate Mamanturu Tarasa Tatra Siddhahu Tolara.
Vinishchitya, deciding, evam, thus, Rishaya, the great sages, Vipannasya, dead, Mahipate, of the king, Mamantu, churned, Urum, the thighs, Tarasa, with specific power, Tatra, thereupon, Asit, was born, Bahuka, of the name Bahuka, dwarf, Nara, a person. Translation and, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Cheshire. After making a decision, the saintly persons and sages churned the thighs of the dead body of King Vena with great force and according to a specific method. As a result of this churning, a dwarf-like person was born from King Vena's body. Purport. That a person was born by the churning of the thighs of King Vena proves that the spirit soul is individual and separate from the body. The great sages and saintly persons could beget another person from the body of the dead King Vena, but it was not possible for them to bring King Vena back to life. King Vena was gone, and certainly he had taken another body. The saintly persons and sages were only concerned with the body of Vena because it was the result of the seminal succession in the family of Maharaj Dhruva. Consequently, the ingredients by which another body could be produced was there in the body of King Vena. By a certain process, when the thighs of the dead body were churned, another body came out. Although dead, the body of King Vena was preserved by drugs and mantras chanted by King Vena's mother. In this way, the ingredients for the production of another body were there. When the body of the person named Bahuka came out of the dead body of King Vena, it was really not very astonishing. It was simply a question of knowing how to do it. From the semen of one body, another body is produced, and the life symptoms are visible due to the soul's taking shelter of this body. One should not think that it is impossible for another body to come out of the dead body of Maharaj Vena. This is performed by the skillful action of the sages. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport to Canto 4, Chapter 14 of the Srimad Bhagavatam titled The Story of King Vena, Text 43. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnanjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Kamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ralita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Jayapataka Swamini Kinamine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damadaya Nagara Gramatharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Gopi Paranadana Dase Kinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हुकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुनिर्धारिणं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं. कथाञ्चन स्मृते यस्मिन् दुष्करं सुकरं भवेत् स्मृते विपरीतं स्यात् श्रीचैतन्यं नमामितम्. So now we see that King Vena has died, and the sages are contemplating, in fact, enacting the next step. So the whole purpose was of the sages, the whole purpose of the sages was to restore a proper king. So first, when our King Anga left the kingdom, so then they installed King Anga. Prabhupada mentions in several lectures that he was very disgusted with his son. So he just left home. So then the sages were left with no alternative but to install King Vena on the throne. And when that turned nasty, so then they killed him, and now they're now acting on the next step. So in yesterday's purport, we see that Prabhupada mentions that this is a great catastrophe in the family of Maharaj Dhruva. So because originally this is coming from Maharaj Dhruva, and so the sages are very concerned about restoring the glory of this family tradition. And why are they interested in restoring the glory of this family tradition? Because it is prone to produce pure devotees. So now one may ask, what is the connection of here it's speaking about the semen being polluted, and therefore things have gone wrong. So what is the connection with that and great devotees? The point is that in great families, the personality, the character traits of the family is passed on from generation to generation. Now, so then we may think, this is something apparently material. So what is it that got to do with a devotee or a devotional state of consciousness? So the point is, just like Prabhupada gave the example, that we don't eat food cooked by non-devotees. Why? Because the food cooked by non-devotees has a certain effect on our consciousness. But if you look at it, the food is actually matter. So how can this matter affect our consciousness? And Prabhupada explains that because the consciousness of the cook gets injected into the food. So as we know, according to our philosophy, spirit affects matter. So the consciousness of the cook affects the food, and the consciousness of the cook is injected into the food, and when we have that food, our consciousness also gets affected. So the spirit affects matter. So here it's being said that the semen of Maharaj Anga was polluted. Why? Because he married the daughter of the king of death. So, because of which, there was contamination of the semen of Maharaj Anga. And that is a problem, because what does contamination mean? The family tradition, in the terms of the personality, the characteristics, the culture which was being handed down, was now suddenly affected by this fact that King Anga got married to Suniti. So there is a transformation in what was being passed down from generation to generation. So then now we'll see that how after King Vena is killed, and the sages are performing what could be called the equivalent of Vedic cloning. In fact, there's another dimension to this. It's not just cloning that they're doing, but they're also carrying out some kind of a detoxification procedure. Because we'll see later, Prabhupada mentions in the next chapter that first they churned out the thighs of King Vena so that all the sinful reactions are removed. And once that is removed, then they churn out his hands, and then Maharaj Prithu and his wife Archi come out of the hands of King Vena. And so it's interesting to note here, Prabhupada mentions that this thing about a living entity being generated by, of course, not a living entity being generated, but there's a certain combination, there's a certain procedure that is being done, and it mentions here with as a result of churning. So the sages are engaged in churning the thighs of the dead body of King Vena. And by churning, they are producing another person. So this is quite astonishing because we normally think of birth being due to a man and a woman's presence. But here, we see that they're doing something very unique. They're churning out the thighs of the body of King Vena, and they're producing another living entity. And similarly, we'll see later that Maharaj Prithu, who is the Shakti Avesh avatar of the Lord, he appears during the next process after this detoxification. So, Prabhupada mentions that it is not really astonishing that the body of that Bahuva came out of the dead body of King Vena. Because he says, these sages, they were accomplished in these things. They were really accomplished in these methods and procedures. So, today we have in modern world this process of cloning and so many different things that they're trying to do. But this, in an advanced form, and not in this present demoniac form, in a very advanced form, was known to the sages of the past. So Prabhupada says, this is not very astonishing. In fact, he says, all the yogic Aishwaryas, they're mundane. So what is there to be astonished about something material? So, I was thinking that I wanted to speak something on what Prabhupada spoke on this whole pastime of King Vena. So then I discovered a lecture which Prabhupada gave in Delhi, and he spoke on the same 14th chapter. So the beginning of that lecture is very interesting because we see in yesterday's purport that Prabhupada mentions that this is a catastrophe in the family of Dhruva Maharaj. So he addresses the same theme of catastrophe in that lecture. So I would like to read some excerpts and then speak a little bit on that. So he begins that lecture in Delhi by saying, this is 1971. So irresponsible government. It is not now. Such things happened in long, long days ago also. That is the nature of this material world, that everything deteriorates. Whatever good thing you may prepare, in due course of time, it will deteriorate. That is the nature of material nature, that something is produced which in the beginning it goes on nicely, and then gradually it deteriorates. Influence of time, and then vanish. So, even in religious movement, if there is materialistic motive, then it will deteriorate. It will not stand. So, beginning of religious life should be without any material motive. Pure devotion means anyabilashita shunyam. No material motive. 1.1.11. Generally, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, people go to the temple and churches or any religious synagogue with a material motive, artho artharti. Generally, they are in need of money, or they are unhappy somehow or other, and they go to God, Krishna, or according to their religious principle, and pray for material benefit. But that is also accepted as good, because they are approaching Krishna or God. But that is not pure devotion. If such material motive continues, then he will fall. So Prabhupada is making a very, very general observation that everything in this material world is prone to deteriorate. And so he says that even religious movement, if there is materialistic motive, then it will deteriorate. So let's go, let's hear what he has to say further. He makes some very, very relevant points after this. Generally, people take to devotional service when they are in a materially distressed condition. The rich men, they do not care for it. But if a rich man takes care that I've got this money by the mercy of Krishna, I must use it for Krishna, then he will never be unhappy. He will never be unhappy. Because after all, whatever we get, it is by the grace of Krishna. Ishamasyam idam sarvam. Everything belongs to Krishna. So by his favor, we get opulence, riches. But when we are opulent, we forget Krishna. Because Maya is very strong. Maya will detect, oh, you have got so much money. Why don't you enjoy wine and women? As it is going on in European and American countries, anyone who gets money, he utilizes it for wine and women. He has no other engagement. He does not know how to utilize money. Therefore, now the British Empire, we have seen it practically, how opulent British Empire was, and now how they are coming down. Recently, we have seen in London that people are lying down on the bench. So this is the nature. Luxury leads to poverty. So we should be very much careful. Don't think that because now I am initiated, I am chanting Hare Krishna, now everything is guaranteed. Now I shall do whatever I like. No, then it will deteriorate. We should not utilize this Hare Krishna movement for any material purpose. Then it will fall down. Either the man will fall down or the status will fall down. As it has become in India, practically they've lost all spiritual interest, although India is the country for spiritual advancement of life. So either individually, collectively, socially or politically, if we forget God, Krishna, then it is sure to deteriorate. But foolish people, they do not know this. They think that our good days will go on like this, as the Britishers thought. I give the example of the Britishers because I've seen in my life how opulent were these Britishers. And I've seen now in London how they are dwindling everywhere. So Prabhupada is making a general reference to how things deteriorate in this material world, and he's speaking about what he saw, the Britishers. So that's one of the points that he's making. And another crucial point, a very important point that he's making for all of us from this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. He says that because I'm now initiated, I am chanting Hare Krishna, now everything is guaranteed. No, I shall do what, now I shall do whatever I like. So Prabhupada is saying that we should be, in our own Krishna consciousness, we should be careful that we don't deteriorate. It is not that now I'm initiated, I'm chanting, I'm following the regulative principles, so automatically I am now going back to Godhead. That is not our philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Rather, in the introduction to the nectar of instruction, Prabhupada very clearly specifies that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So that is very important. We know that Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. He looks at the mood of the devotee. So the activity is important. The mood is equally important as much as the activity. Like Prabhupada said, when we chant Hare Krishna, it should be like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. And that is very intense. When a child cries for its mother, it's very intense. So Prabhupada taught us this, that when we chant Hare Krishna, we should chant like the cry of a child for its mother. So this aspect, that the attitude in Krishna consciousness is very important, should be stressed in our everyday devotional life, not only for ourselves, but when we preach this point about attitude. This is a very important aspect of our Krishna consciousness movement. And we see that Prabhupada, when he heard the news of Jayananda Prabhu, I've mentioned this in my classes earlier, he said that if he had any material motive, he would have gone to the heavenly planets. Now this is Jayananda Prabhu. Now all of us know from reading the history of the early days, how much Prabhupada liked Jayananda Prabhu and how much devotional service he had done. And there was no complaint about him. Everybody appreciated him. He would create that enthusiasm in devotional service. He was fully fixed up in devotional service. Nevertheless, the first thing that Prabhupada said when he heard about Jayananda Prabhu, in fact, Prabhupada knew Jayananda Prabhu better than anybody else. So the first thing that he said was, if he had any material motive, then he would have gone to the heavenly planets. And then later, when Prabhupada was told, not that he said that he went to the heavenly planets, he said, if he had any material motive, then Krishna would have sent him to the heavenly planets. But later, when he was informed that he was hearing Hare Krishna when he left his body, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said he has gone back to God, and he said we should celebrate his disappearance day. So we celebrate his disappearance day to this day, and Prabhupada said his photo should be there in every Ratyatra. So we see that if Prabhupada said that about Jayananda Prabhu, where are we? So it means that we should be very, very serious in our practice of Krishna consciousness, and we've got only one life. We don't know what our next destination would be. Of course, Prabhupada promises those who practice will get another chance. But Prabhupada did not want that. He wanted, just finish up your business in this one lifetime and just go back to Godhead. So then, we may think, okay, the kind of circumstances that we're living in are extremely difficult. During Prabhupada's time itself, it was quite hellish. But now the kind of circumstances that we are living in are furthermore hellish. So then we may wonder, how is this possible? Shuddha Kirti Prabhu, in his lecture on Gaur Purnima a couple of years ago, he mentioned this point that when Prabhupada was once traveling in America, first he went to South America, then he went to America. So he said in almost every single lecture that Prabhupada gave, especially the lecture in Atlanta, Prabhupada started by saying, Paramakaruna, he started singing Paramakaruna and he started explaining that verse. And he simply said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they are so merciful. And when Prabhupada said that, he began to cry and then he couldn't speak anymore. And Shuddha Kirti Prabhu recollects that this happened several times during that tour that Shuddha Kirti Prabhu went along with Prabhupada. So, we should understand that however great the difficulties may be, however great the problems may be, however hellish the conditions may be, but Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they are the only hope. It is said that by hearing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chandas Thakur sings in that song, the same song, Paramakaruna, that by hearing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the birds and even the rocks melt, the rocks, like we have this in Alarnath, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran towards Alarnath and he fainted in the temple, and when he fainted, the rock melted because of the intensity of the love of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he fell on the rock, the whole rock melted. Even to this day, there is an impression of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that just by hearing about his pastimes, even the rocks can melt. And even the birds and bees can cry in ecstasy. They do cry in ecstasy. So however contaminated our hearts may be, whatever difficulties we may face, but nevertheless, simply by remembering Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in every Bhagavatam class that I give, I quote this before I give the class, Katanchana smrite yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavet vismrite vipritam syat Sri Chaitanyam namamitam, which means that however difficult an activity may be, if one remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then activity becomes very simple. But however simple an activity may be, if one does not remember Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then activity becomes impossible. So we are living in this age which is filled with the voices of Kali, but Lord Chaitanya is the only hope. And many of you may have heard this lecture which Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj gave just before Gaur Purnima. I think it's a few days before Gaur Purnima. Very, it is a very beautiful lecture which he gave on Anapita Charim Chirat Karunaya Vatirna Kalo Samarpayatam Unnata Ujjvala Rasa Subhaktim Shriya Hari Purada Sundara Dudikadamba Sandipita Sadahide Kandare Smrutuva Sachinandana. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya is like a lion. Lord Chaitanya is like a lion. And if we install Lord Chaitanya Sada Hridaya Kandare in the innermost chambers of our heart, innermost chambers of our heart, then the elephantine voices. In fact, I just brought that verse for reference. It's a very, very, very inspiring verse. Chaitanya, a very, very assuring verse. Chaitanyera Simhera, Chaitanya Simhera, Navadvipe Avatara, Simha Griva, Simha Virya, Simhera Hunkara. Thus the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvi. He has the shoulders of a lion, Simha Griva. The powers of a lion, Simha Virya, Simhera Hunkara, and the loud voice of a lion. Se Simha Vasu, Jivera Hridaya Kandare. That word again, Hridaya Kandare. Kalmasa Dvirada Nashe, Yanhara Hunkare. May that lion be seated in the core of the heart of every living being. Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine voices. So this is the secret, that the voices of Kali Yuga may be like an elephant. But what happens to elephant? Elephant is a huge animal. It's a very powerful animal. But when the lion roars, it shatters the heart of even the elephant. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, this is the prescription that he gives. Sada Hridaya Kandare, which means at all times in the innermost chambers of our heart, if Lord Chaitanya is seated in the innermost chambers of our heart, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the difficulty, he is like the lion, and just by his roar, the elephantine voices can be shattered. So, when Prabhupada says that we have to be very serious in our practice of Krishna consciousness, he is also giving us the remedy. He is also giving us the remedy. It is possible. It is possible by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we should grab on to that mercy. And if we are situated like that, there is no question of obstacle. Just like once Prabhupada wrote a letter to one of his disciples. He said, there are no obstacles in Krishna consciousness. With one kick, I can kick out all these obstacles, provided you are willing to accept that kick. So, through his books, he is making this point very clear that not only in the family of Dhruva Maharaj, not only the British, not only all these situations which the Bhagavatam is depicting, where something which is very nice in the beginning deteriorates over a course of time, Prabhupada writes, this can happen even to us, the practicing devotees. And this Prabhupada spoke on this very same chapter of chapter 14, canto 4 of the Bhagavatam. So therefore, this is something we should take seriously from this pastime of King Vena, that we should be careful in our practice of Krishna consciousness. We should take it fully seriously. And Prabhupada says, there is no question of guarantee. Like sometimes we hear that Prabhupada guaranteed, we are going back to Godhead. But Prabhupada also said this, there is no guarantee. The guarantee is, you practice seriously. Not that we chant 16 rounds and follow regulative principles, we are going back. Prabhupada writes here very clearly, that is not the guarantee. The guarantee is, one should be seriously engaged in it till the end of one's very life. Not that we just chant and follow the principle, everything is guaranteed. Prabhupada says, no. Rather, Krishna consciousness is an active process. The process of acting, actively surrendering. Actively surrendering, what does it mean? On a day-to-day basis, am I practicing my Krishna consciousness properly? Is my consciousness alright? What do I need to improve my Krishna consciousness? This should be our meditation, not just that. Of course, this is one aspect of our Krishna consciousness. The other aspect, as Prabhupada mentions, is one, the whole Krishna consciousness movement is based on Paropakara. So one should also think, okay, well, first of all, let me become very serious. Not first of all means I take 10 years to become serious, then I preach. No. Let me simultaneously become serious and let me simultaneously preach. So, not only we try to be serious, but we also preach and try to make those who are preaching also serious. So it's a simultaneous process. We become serious. To whom we are preaching, that they also become serious. And that is the purpose of the Bhagavatam classes, that it is meant so that by hearing, this process of hearing, this is the recommended process for this age, which was approved by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again, when during his conversations with Ramananda Roy, he said, Stane, when Ramananda Roy said, Stane Sita Shuti Gitaam Tanuvan Manobari, he said, yes, this is the highest perfection, just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It cannot be underestimated, the power of hearing. So this is an essential practice of Krishna consciousness. It's not that, I remember once Gopi Parandam Prabhu mentioned this to me, that it is not that we can pick and choose. This is a process which Prabhupada has created in ISKCON, that we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. It is not that, oh, I don't like this speaker, I don't like that speaker, so today I'll not hear, tomorrow I'll hear, or I'll do something else, or I'll hear Prabhupada's lecture. So this is not the point. The point is, Prabhupada has instituted a certain system. So, and he expects that we follow that system. So it's not a question, it's a disrespect to the Bhagavatam if you start discriminating. I don't like that speaker, I don't like the speaker, I don't like the way he talks. In fact, that is one of the obstacles which Rupa Goswami mentions in the next of instruction. One should not discriminate based on not just the bodily aspect of a Vaishnava, but also his sabhava. Some people may be slow speakers, somebody fast, somebody may speak in a way that's distracting, so-called distracting to your mind. But nevertheless, we should stick firmly to the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, Rupa Goswami mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that among the five potent activities of devotional service, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is one of those five. So we cannot underestimate the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And how hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? In the association of devotees. That is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prescribes as the highest process of devotion, highest process of perfection in this age. So we should remember that we should be constantly engaged in hearing, chanting, serving. Because by hearing, whenever we have some faults, they can get corrected. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, our faults are addressed and it gets corrected. So this is a very important element of our devotional practice, that we hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By daily recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the faults in the heart can be destroyed. And we notice here that if we notice how Prabhupada takes this chapter. Now, of course, the next verse, I don't know if Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj is speaking tomorrow, but whoever speaks on it, it's a challenge, because Prabhupada goes on to explain how this king Vena was born. Then he mentions how, because of his sinful nature, he was black. Then he goes on to explain how the people of the elevated castes, they're generally white. And he goes on to explain these things. But we notice one very important aspect of Prabhupada's teachings, that Prabhupada, whatever are the Shastric teachings, he represented them very faithfully. But whenever he presented a teaching, he always made it a point, but this is not the ultimate point. Not the point that, okay, because King Vena is black and because people from the elevated castes, elevated consciousness are supposed to be white, therefore, I mean, he just address that point and leave it as it is. But we notice that throughout his books, throughout his lectures, throughout his correspondence, throughout his personal dealings, moment some Shastric point comes up like this, that because material world means a world of inequality, and Prabhupada very clearly mentioned there's no question of making things materially equal. It is just not possible. Krishna has designed the world to be unequal. And in fact, George Orwell, this famous book that he wrote called Animal Farm, where he speaks about the communist ideology, it's a satire. So he mentions how all men are equal, some are more equal. So all men are equal, some are more equal. That's the communist ideology. The so-called equality is a myth in the material world. It's not possible to organize society on that basis. So for material organization of society, for smooth running of affairs in this material world, there's a certain system of organization. It's called Varnashrama Dharma. So Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, there's a hierarchy. So there's so many different things there. But you see, the Prabhupada, even in Chicago, when he was addressing this question of men, women, so the women report is very disturbed. So Prabhupada said, if they're disturbed, let us just chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada didn't say, okay, let's change what we're talking. Rather, he just said, okay, let's not talk about it, just chant Hare Krishna. So we see, Prabhupada had a boldness, to present Krishna consciousness, present the Shastric teachings as it is, but nevertheless, he was at every point, whenever these kind of things came up, he made it very clear that this is not the point. The point is, for example, in the very next shloka, he says that, even the kiratas, he's referring to this bahukau comes out of the body, as we referred in this verse. I mean, he's black. So then he says that, I mean, all these people were sent to the jungles. And then he says, we should, however, know that even these sinful men, who are sometimes called kiratas, can be delivered from their sinful condition, not just to Vaishnava platform, but he says, topmost Vaishnava platform, by the mercy of a pure devotee. So this is what Prabhupada emphasized, that ultimately it is not this material equality and, I mean, material inequality that we have to see, because it has no relevance as far as one being raised to the topmost Vaishnava platform is concerned. So when we come across things like this in the Bhagavatam, we should not think, oh, Shastra is also discriminating. You know, Shastra is discriminating. So maybe we should avoid this part of the Shastra because it's controversial. No? Shastra is discriminating. Prabhupada's writing a purport, some problem here. No, the point is, okay, Prabhupada spoke Shastra as it is, but he was trying to say, what is the point? Okay, this is not the ultimate thing. The point is, one can be raised irrespective of material equality, material inequality, or whatever so-called material defects may exist, but one can be raised to the topmost platform of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, we see that by his practical example, he showed that it can be done. And what Prabhupada has done, nobody else has done. Actually, if you see the history of the world, this thing, this aspect of transforming people from all across the world, that nobody in the history of the world has done it. Which Prabhupada has done? Not because you have so many so-called miracle makers. You know, and in fact, in this particular thing, Prabhupada says, even this is not a miracle. This thing about King Vena's body is being churned and some living entity is coming out of it. He says, even that is not a miracle. And in fact, he says, in this connection, we had a recently famous personality in India died who had so many followers. He had followers all across the world, so many prominent men. But Prabhupada does not give any importance. In fact, he speaks about this very same person. And then Prabhupada says, what is actually a real miracle? Prabhupada defines what is a miracle. So I thought it would be interesting. In the context of the verse, in the context of this person dying, and Prabhupada speaking about what is actually a miracle. So this is in April. This is in Hyderabad, April 29. Devotee. They are attracted by wonderful things. He is doing so many wonderful things. This is referring to this godman who died recently. Prabhupada. That is, means rascal. He does not see Krishna wonderful. If you want to see wonderful things, why don't you see more wonderful things? It's like he's saying, even this is not wonderful, this King Vena, his body being churned. So Prabhupada is speaking here. In fact, he's referring to this godman's so-called miracles. If you want to see wonderful things, why don't you see more wonderful things? But they are foolish. They are captivated with small wonderful things. That means less intelligent. Just like small children, they'll be amazed by seeing small wonderful things. But his father will not be. What is the amazement? Wonderful thing. And Prabhupada is referring to this godman. I'm not quoting because this is a conversation, this is not a Bhagavatam class that he's mentioned this. What is the amazement, wonderful thing that this man is doing? If he's creator of gold, then why is he doing in business of incense? You know that? He has a big incense business exactly like this, like us. This is 1971. He can create gold. Why there is this incense business? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to give his mother some gold when there was need of money. Mother, I got this gold, so you can utilize. The mother would think that we are poor men. We have no gold. Where from this boy brings gold? So she was doubtful, because she was thinking, my son is mad, sometimes crazy. So she would go, is it real gold, Jesse? Then, yes, it is real gold. Him, how he got it? You see, many yogis, they make gold for meeting their expenditures. Yes. Still in India, they know how to make gold from copper. Yes. The process is they will drink mercury at night and in the morning they will urine on the copper coins. And then after some hours, Prabhupada is mentioning this process of alchemy. In fact, Prabhupada gives a very outline sketch here. So notice what he says, that the process is they will drink mercury at night and in the morning they will urine on the copper coins. And then after some hours, the copper coins taken and put into fire, it becomes gold. And it is scientific that some molecules of mercury, if mixed with copper, it is gold. Gold is combination of mercury and copper. But the people cannot mix it. They have tried. That is called alchemist. They try to mix it, but because they do not know the process, as soon as mercury is put into fire, it immediately goes out. You melt copper, and in hot copper, if you put mercury, it will not melt together. So you melt copper. So like this, he goes on to explain about how the actual gold is produced from copper. And then he goes on to his attack. He says, you first of all eat mercury, then laughter. You will be finished, no scarcity. Why should we go imitate the rascals? We have enough gold. Krishna is supplying whatever we require. Artha prayojanam. Whatever you need, Krishna will supply. We actually remain dependent on Krishna. There are so many literatures of different groups, but who is selling so much? 40,000, 50,000 daily. Unless Krishna is helping us. In the history of religion, no book has been sold 30,000, 40,000 daily. There is no history. So why don't you see this wonderful thing? All the money that I have brought from USA, India, it is all book fund. Nobody has given. George has given. That is not in cash. And he gave that 2 lakhs that was spent for Krishna book. So where from the cash is coming? So Prabhupada goes on to explain that this factor of we are selling so many books. So in London, our Bhagavad Gita, it was sold 2 months, 30,000 copies. That is the report, 30,000 copies. So we have to sincerely depend on Krishna, serve Him. Everything what is required, that will come some way or other. That is miracle. So Prabhupada says that by depending on Krishna, whatever we need will come. That faith we have to have. And Prabhupada says that is miracle. So it's remembering in this context of alchemy that Prabhupada is speaking about, that Gopinathapuram mentioned to me that this whole thing, he read in the Shastra, how it is an extremely long and complicated process to create gold out of copper. And Prabhupada in fact quotes Sanatan Goswami from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and he says that just like a bell metal, when it is mixed with mercury, it can become gold. Similarly, anybody from any background, when he comes in touch with a pure devotee, he can become a topmost Vaishnava. So this is called the process of transcendental alchemy. And Prabhupada is the transcendental alchemist. Because what he did, even alchemy today, if somebody can do that, they would consider to be the greatest miracle, to produce gold out of copper. That is something material. So here is something spiritual, an extremely difficult task. We cannot imagine, we cannot conceive how difficult it is to transform the whole world. Yet, Srila Prabhupada actually did it, and we see the result tangibly manifest in front of our eyes. Because sometimes, you see these yogis, they say, Jagat Guru. What does it mean? It means nothing. Guru of the whole world? How is it Guru of the whole world? But here, Prabhupada is actually showing tangible result. So he is the transcendental alchemist. And that is the miracle which we have to be impressed with. So I think I'll stop here. So if there are any comments or questions. Radharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.
Guru Bhavani. Jai Nishimha, Jai Nishimha, Jai Nishimha.